Amen. Well, good morning and welcome literally all over the world to today's AIT, our Advanced Individual Training. I want to ask you if you'll help me by joining me in a word of prayer as we begin. Lord, we come to you this morning in awe of you. Not just in awe of what you've done, not just in awe of what you've blessed us with, but in awe of you. Amen. And I know, Lord, having prepared for where you're going to take us, that when we lose our sense of awe for how awesome you truly are, dangerous things happen. That it's when we lose our sight of you that we drift into the dangerous parts of our lives. Lord, I thank you for the work of Ron Moore, this brother in the Lord, who's written a book that I know you are using to feed and lead your sheep. I pray that in the coming time that we have together, that you will be glorified as we better understand both your glory and your grace. Take the people that we call family deeper into the faith that follows you, no matter what. That's our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, friends, today we're going to do an AIT, an Advanced Individual Training, that is going to focus on this book. The book is entitled Worn Out by Obedience, with the subtitle Recovering from Spiritual Fatigue. It's written by Ron Moore. Many of you will be familiar with him through his nationally syndicated radio ministry called Back to the Bible. But know this, it's not Ron Moore, it's not a syndicated ministry, it's not Jeff Pearson, it's not The Bridge. It's God and his word that we listen to and adhere to, and that's where the blessing will come from. And I just want to say to you, for some that may not be familiar with this format, that every once in a while we'll do an advanced individual training that does focus on a book. Just for example, we've done similar AITs with The Gospel According to Jesus by John MacArthur, by a book entitled All of Grace, written by Spurgeon. We've looked at The Experience That Matters by Jonathan Edwards. We've looked at Discipled Warriors, which walks through the book of Ephesians and gives the purposes and blueprint for the church, written by Dr. Chuck Lawless. Well, today I know that God has intervened and changed my plans. This is not where we had intended to go, but I know that this is of the Lord, and I pray that this time will bless you. Now, with that said, before I open up the book and take us into this, I want you to just sit and soak, and I have a song that I want you to listen to. It's by the Paul Coleman Trio, a group in the Christian circles that was more popular in the 90s than today, but that's the beauty of truth. Truth never changes. I want you to listen. I'm going to share with you two songs today, both by the Paul Coleman Trio and both by a one-word title. The first one is called Turn, and it sets in place a context for our time in this work today. Let these words kind of tenderize and prepare your heart for where we're going. Just sit and soak in the presence of our King. Amen. Watch this.
How can you expect people in the right minds to not see between the cracks and notice that there's something missing? Wouldn't you agree? Now is the right time to be all that we can be. Yeah, come on. Together in perfect unity. How we are torn apart by things that do not matter, and time is running out for us.
Doubt that theologically there isn't anybody that's in the immediate presence of this time that needs that to be further unpacked. We acknowledge we need to turn this life around, and the heartbeat of our God is that we would be supernaturally unified as a testimony to his glory. And where and when that's not what's happening, something's deeply wrong. And I pray that you'll see today two things. Not only how wrong that is, but how much it matters. It matters that we be unified vertically and horizontally. Now, to that end, let me go ahead and jump into the book, and I'm going to let what we cover speak for itself. In the foreword of this book called Worn Out by Obedience, a pastor named Bob Russell from Louisville, Kentucky, a four-decade pastor of one of the largest churches in the country called Southeast Christian, says this, and I quote, "Worn Out by Obedience is an honest and convicting book. It is for any of us who call ourselves Christ followers, but who, at one point or another, along the way, have struggled with spiritual fatigue. Let me assure you," says Russell, "you'll find hope in these pages." Being worn out by obedience is a pervasive, harmful situation that we all experience, and one that destroys relationships. It degrades the quality of both our lives and our ministries unless we come to grips with it. He closes the foreword by saying, "I encourage you to read this book," and I echo his thoughts. "I encourage you to read this book." Sidebar, don't let this be enough. Read the book. Walk through the scriptures. "I encourage you to read this book, take notes, and have a serious conversation with yourself and God about where you are in your walk with him." From the foreword, the author then takes us into the introduction, and he says, to begin, "The Christian life is an exciting journey." Amen to that. It is nothing if it's not exciting. He says, "Life with Christ transforms our hearts from the inside out and fills us with significance. If obeying Christ," says Moore, "is the only way to run the Christian race, and if God ultimately blesses obedience, then you might be wondering, how is it that we can be worn down by the very thing that God rewards? How is it that we could be worn out by obedience?" The simple answer is that the right way is not going to be the easy way. Moore says the right way, the righteous way of God, is seldom, if ever, the easy way. And he looks to Hebrews 5, 7, and 8 and points out, which is beautifully ironic because this is one of our texts from last Sunday's sermon before I ever saw this book. quote, he, meaning Jesus, offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears. If faithful obedience was hard and heart-wrenching for Christ, you better believe it's going to be so for Christians and the church. Moore goes on, he says, this may not be a popular message. This may not be popular to you or anybody else, but there is no way around it. Obedience, even for Jesus, was hard. Certainly, it's going to be hard at times for us. And by contrast, the stalled state, that place of not obeying, he says, it leaves a believer, not lost people, leaves a believer vulnerable. He goes on and he says, this book is written for followers of Jesus. Do not relegate this just to the lost. At the same time, here's one place where I'm going to make a personal caveat and insert something that's very important for you to understand. This book and everything that you're going to hear is true, and it's blessed, and it's pointed at the Christian who has stumbled. But as I have shown you with what we call the stick man gospel, there are those who stumble in Christ, bar none. We'll see it again today. But do not miss that there are those who jump over the cross and those who tunnel under the cross who will look exactly the same. I wish that the author of this book would have made a stronger clarion distinction between the three. Yes, there are those who stumble, and praise God, this is a very encouraging book to those who are in the midst of those stumbles. But I say to you as disciples, understand that a stumbling Christian and somebody who's jumped over the cross that is not a Christian, and those who have tunneled under the cross deceptively, intentionally as wolves, are going to look exactly the same to yours and my eye. This is where discernment and the Spirit of God are really key. So please understand, everything that we're going to see applies to the believer who has stumbled, like David, a man after God's own heart who stumbles. But do not be deceived into thinking that every person that looks like they're in this faraway land, who looks like they're living on the side of the enemy, they're not all believers who have stumbled. Many of them are the enemy, who have not yet surrendered to Christ, or worse, are those who are intentionally amongst the enemy, wanting to look like and have you believe that they are on God's side. Strong caveat, but it needed to be shared. Let's go back now from the encouraging side of this work. He goes on, Moore tells us that weary stretches are unavoidable. They're unavoidable. You and I cannot walk with the King and not have times where we become battle weary, where we've been actually in the frontline battles for an extended time. He said, you can't avoid that reality, but you don't have to stay there. That's the beauty of the gospel. You don't have to stay there. Now, he says, whether you find yourself in that lonely wilderness or are just feeling worn out, which, by the way, is the risk of you going into that land of extended weariness, he said, my prayer for you is that this study will resonate with you. And that's my prayer as well. I know that God gave it to me to give to our faith family in this time and this place because the fitting is so overwhelmingly heaven-sent that I know this is for us. If you're within the sound of my voice, this is for you right now. God told me so. There's no question about it. So the book is in three parts, 11 chapters, three parts. Part number one is running hard. Part number two is running away. And part number three is running home. Amen. And so my prayer is that as we go through the first four chapters and we see what it is to run hard, but chapter one, running on empty. Then chapter two, to run hard, but to be worn out by things like service. Chapter three, being worn out by things like expectations. Number four, being worn out by extended battles. That we'll come to understand why when we get to chapter five, we actually see people running away and running into the enemy territory. And ultimately, before we close, we'll take five chapters to focus on the gift and the grace of being brought home. Amen?